Jane heard the faint tingle of a bell as the door closed behind her. It was cool inside the store, and she smelled old leather and furniture polish. The shelves lining the walls were filled with leather-bound volumes, stories from an earlier day. Furniture, both modern and antique, filled most of the room. Despite the amount of merchandise, the space was immaculately clean. She noticed that the furniture was evenly spaced throughout the showroom. The symmetrical, grid-like pattern lent to the air of fastidious organization. The space was pristine, as if no human had ever bothered to disturb the cool, dry stillness. This impression was belied by the fact that behind a gleaming glass counter stood a nondescript woman clad in equally nondescript gray business attire. The woman was eerily still as Jane approached through the perfectly arranged furniture. Jane noted the woman's pale skin, her dark eyes, and a plain face. Her dark hair was pulled back in an almost severe-looking bun. She was like a statue behind the counter, her indifferent gaze meeting Jane's as she approached. Jane thought she heard the quiet snick of a lock sliding into place behind her, but dismissed the thought as alarmist. Who would keep business locked on a weekday morning? Jane stepped in front of the unblemished, gleaming rectangle separating her from the shopkeeper. Unconsciously, her hands moved forward to rest on the glass counter. The corners of the woman's mouth turned down slightly, the only response to the disruption in the showroom's delicate balance. Jane said nothing, waiting for the woman to speak. Oddly, the woman maintained her stoic gaze, saying nothing to the interloper. The silence dragged on and on until the awkwardness was too much for Jane to bear. "Good morning." Jane's voice seemed impossibly loud in the room's quiet stillness. "Good morning." The woman continued to stare, saying nothing after returning Jane's greeting. The silence swelled awkwardly for a second time. It felt to Jane as if she was in a staring contest with a glacier. Once again she broke down and spoke first. "I have a 10 o'clock appointment with Mr. Black. I believe he is expecting me." "He is. Please take the door behind me. At the end of that hall is an elevator. Mr. Black's office is on floor B2. His door is marked with his name. I will let him know you have arrived." The woman seemed as interested in Jane as she did with any of the pieces of furniture in the room. If anything, Jane was certain that the woman's primary concern at the moment was the visible fingerprints marring the otherwise perfectly maintained counter. "Thank you. I'll show myself down." If the comment had any effect on the woman, Jane couldn't tell. After one more second of playing and losing the staring game, Jane looked away and made her way to the back of the store. Walking through the door revealed a well-lit hallway with a thick carpet. Paintings adorned both walls. Like the showroom, it was perfectly maintained, each painting leveled with precision, each of the vacuum marks on the carpet in exactly the same direction. She walked down the passageway and pushed a single button for the elevator. With a quiet ding, the door slid open, she stepped into the car. It bounced slightly under her weight. She frowned as she looked at the panel. For some reason, she expected Mr. Black to be on the second floor, but she could see that his office was actually downstairs. In fact, it was 2 levels down. She was obviously on G, and his floor was B2. After a moment's hesitation, she pushed the button, indicating a level 2 spaces below her floor. As the doors slid shut, Jane was certain that the crack under the doorway she had just walked through went dark. It was as if the showroom lights had been turned off. Jane's concern grew slightly as the doors to the elevator slid open. The brightly lit lights revealed a stark contrast to the room in the hallway above. Unpainted cinder block walls and bare concrete floor gave the hallway an unwelcome look. She felt out of place, like an intruder. Clutching her bag tightly, she stepped out into the hallway. With a slight whoosh, the doors slid shut behind her. Jane stood there for a moment, looking down the hall. There were 2 unmarked metal doors on the right-hand side of the hall. They were unpainted, the original metal completely free from scratches, dents, and other blemishes. She noticed the floor and walls were completely free of dust and cobwebs as well. In fact, despite being under an obviously old structure, the place looked as if it had just been built. The hallway seemed untouched by human hands. Doubts began to gnaw at her, seeping in despite her best efforts to quell them. The click of the lock behind her, the showroom lights, the glacier lady. Something is wrong, she thought to herself. With a quick, quiet motion, Jane spun around and pushed the elevator button. Her doubts turned to fear when her finger touched upon the grooved surface of a keyhole. There was no button. One needed a key to get back up. She stood there for a moment, heart racing, tracing the crooked metal slash of a keyhole with her index finger. Relax, she told herself. Think. She had a job interview with a friend of her boyfriend, Mr. Black. Her boyfriend knew that she was here. He helped her prep for the interview, helped her with her resume. He knows these people. Get a hold of yourself. Pushing the panic down, she turned around and looked down the hall. Past the two doors on the right of the hallway, it dead-ended. There was another metal door, also unpainted. It had a metal plaque on it. She couldn't read the lettering, but it most likely read Mr. Black. She noted there was an IP camera above the door pointing down the hallway. Great, she told herself. He probably saw me panicking like an idiot. Her heels echoed on in the still hallway as she approached Mr. Black's office. A quick knock, a muffled reply, and she was pushing through the heavy steel door. She almost screamed when she walked in the door. She was in a small vestibule, a very small vestibule, probably less than 5 feet in length and the width of a standard hallway. A man was standing there in a business suit, hands clasped behind his back. "You must be Jane. I apologize for startling you. I saw you were having problems with the elevator, and I was coming to assist." His tone of voice suggested he was amused. She got the sense that he was not, in fact, sorry he startled her. Not sorry at all. The creeping doubts were turning into alarm bells. "James said you were quite the candidate. Insisted that I interview you. In fact, I cannot remember a time when someone was so highly recommended. Especially by James. As you surely know, he can be highly demanding. A man not easily satisfied." His words oozed out of his mouth like a thick liquid. Slow, smooth, moving in the air between them like a snake. Despite the situation, she felt herself relaxing a bit. James, her boyfriend of 4 months, had arranged this interview for her. The mention of his name grounded her again. Odd situation, yes. But dangerous? Hardly. "Thank you, Mr. Black. I'm glad James spoke so highly of me." She found her words strangely muted. She was speaking softly, as one does in church or in the waiting room of a doctor's office. "Before we go into my office, I should warn you that I will be recording the interview. We keep records of our interviewees in case we have other opportunities that present themselves. I hope you do not mind." "No, of course not." "Then come in, Jane." As she spoke, Mr. Black turned and opened the door behind him. Jane felt her heartbeat pick up again as she entered the room. Stark walls and floors, reminiscent of the hallway, greeted the nervous girl. The room was empty except for a metal desk with a chair pushed neatly in. Sitting in front of the desk was another metal chair with arms. She noticed that the chair was not a folding chair, but a heavy cast metal chair. It was rugged. Institutional, she thought to herself. There was what appeared to be a digital recorder on a tripod next to the desk. It was facing the guest chair. There were lights off to either side of the desk as well, also on tripods. They were the camera lights, with big silver umbrella things on them. She couldn't recall what they were actually called, though. All in all, the scene was bizarre. Unsettling. Mr. Black made his way behind the desk, pulled out the chair, and sat down. "Please," he said, motioning to the chair facing the desk. She slowly made her way to the metal chair. As she approached, she could see the chair was placed in the middle of a taped square on the floor. The chair scraped the concrete as she lowered her weight into it. The sound echoed in the room, causing her heart to race yet again. As she sat, she was surprised to see that the lights were not blinding her. They faced inwards towards the silver material of the umbrellas, the reflecting light bathing her in a warm glow. Unlike the showroom, this was not cool. In fact, she felt flushed and a bit warm under the lights. "Shall we begin?" Mr. Black looked pointedly at the camera. "Of course," she said confidently, projecting her voice and personality as she started to fall into interview mode. With a quick motion, he reached over and turned on the camera. A red light sparkled brightly, a steady reminder that her every word and movement would be captured. "So you've been dating James for how long?" Mr. Black asked in a quiet, steady voice. 3 or 4 months." She quietly kicked herself for the It was a habit she was trying to break, but the personal nature of the question threw her. Odd way to start an interview, she thought to herself. "And are you employed at the moment?"
"No."
"I see. Did James tell you the nature of this position? Did he give you any detail?"
"He did not. He simply said that he had an interview for me today at this location with you."
She was falling into the groove now, getting more comfortable with the lights and the camera. She still felt a bit warm, but she was certain she could handle an hour or so of it. Mr. Black looked down, and she heard the sound of a drawer slide open behind the desk. When he raised his hands, he was holding a tablet of some sort. "James sent me some files on you. Resume, biographical information, that sort of thing." He smiled when he looked at her. She said nothing, waiting for him to continue. Mr. Black took his time, swiping through what she assumed were documents, idly commenting as he did so.
"You did well in school. That is certainly a plus. Your work experience certainly makes you a desirable candidate. All of this is quite impressive, actually. I would like to ask you a question about something he sent me.
Would you mind taking a look for me?" Again, his words were silky smooth. They seemed to slither from his mouth. She felt even warmer under the soft glow of the lights.
"Of course, I would be happy to..." Her words trailed off as she picked up the tablet he had slid across the desk.
Her head spun as she felt as if someone had punched her in the stomach. She gazed down at the tablet, her mind unwilling to accept what her eyes were clearly seeing. She was on the pad. Not her cover letter, or resume, but she, herself. A picture of her at James's place. She was topless, wearing nothing but panties and sitting on his couch. She remembered the night when he took the pictures of her. How did this motherfucker get these? Oh, my God. With a start, she began to frantically swipe through the photos, revealing each one in sequence. She felt sick as she realized every picture they took that night was on there. Pictures of her sliding her panties off, spreading her legs, sliding her hand down to her eager wetness.
"What the fuck is this?" she practically screamed at the man across the desk.
"Calm down, Jane. Everything is fine." Mr. Black seemed unperturbed by her reaction. In fact, he seemed to expect it. A distant part of her mind recognized how reasonable that expectation would be given the situation.
"Fuck you. Fuck you, asshole." This time she did scream at him as she slammed the pad onto the desk. A thick spiderweb of cracks appeared on the tablet, partially obscuring the photos.
"Would you like me to explain, or would you care to leave? You are free to exit the building at any time. Your stay here is voluntary by contract." As he spoke, Mr. Black slid a key across the desk, presumably an elevator key. As he glanced at the cracks on the table, he sighed. She paused, her mind racing. Voluntary by contract? What the fuck does that even mean? Obviously, she needed to get the fuck out of here and right now. Still, she needed to know how he got the pictures and, more importantly, how she could get them back. She sat there and looked at him, angrily, waiting.
"James gave them to me. Not just these. All of them. Every picture and video he took of you. This includes the one where you were on your hands and knees in the kitchen barking like a dog. I believe he was sodomizing you at the time. That was absolutely my favorite moment in your entire portfolio. I would show you, but the device seems to be damaged. I am sure you remember, don't you?"
She was stunned. Her eyes watered at the betrayal, and the lights seemed like they would burn her alive.
Do you remember that, Jane? The woof-woof and the James Cock buried in your ass? Answer me. The last sentence he spoke was only slightly louder than his normal speaking voice, but the sharpness of the tone pulled an answer out of her against her will. Yes, yes, goddammit, I remember. Her voice was trembling now, and she was near tears. She was fighting it, though. No way this asshole was going to see her cry. This is very simple, Jane. You can get all of this material back. Do you want that, Jane? His voice was back to its even-keeled tempo. She looked him dead in the eyes as she spoke. There is no way I'm fucking you for these pictures. You can go fuck yourself. She found herself getting angry again. She'd rather have these published in USA Today than let this fucker blackmail her, rape her, in exchange for these pictures. No fucking way. Oh, you misunderstand. I have no interest in you beyond the requirements of the contract I have with James. You simply need to finish the interview. At the end of the interview, you may choose to stay, in which case you forfeit the material. Conversely, you may take the materials and leave. You'll receive $500 for your interview, and you will never hear from us or James again. Do you understand? Her mind was swimming now. What the fuck? What the fucking fuck is this? She was ashamed. Angry. No, not angry. Furious. Fucking James. She trusted him. A wave of grief hit her as she realized his betrayal. She realized that she was falling in love with him, and this hurt her badly. Fine. I get it. I'll finish the interview. You give me the pictures. You can take the $500 and shove it up your ass, though. Seriously. Go fuck yourself. She said the last three words slowly and carefully while looking directly into the camera. The steady red light twinkled back silently. Excellent. Let's get to it then, Jane. Please answer the questions directly and with no hesitation. Failure to answer honestly will result in the cancellation of the interview. She looked at him silently, waiting. She felt like she could win a staring contest with that psycho bitch from upstairs at this point. When it was clear she would not answer, he began. First question, are you falling in love with James? The question floored her, and she looked away. She was ready for some twisted, fucked-up shit, but this really shocked her. Taken completely off guard, she answered softly. As she continued to look to the side, she couldn't meet his steady gaze. Please look at the camera and answer clearly, Jane. This is important. Yes, or at least, I was. She looked at the camera when she spoke. Despite her best efforts, her eyes began to water. She clenched her fist, driving her nails into the meat of her palm, hoping the pain would distract her. Would you consider yourself a sexual submissive, Jane? No. Is that an honest answer? Yes. A deviant, then? No. Is that also an honest answer? Yes. So, despite the fact that you wear a leash, bark like a dog, and get whipped until you scream, you do not feel that you are deviant or submissive? The pictures of you wearing a tail plug, fox ears, crouching in a dog kennel, vanilla. Do you believe these things that the average couple does? I don't know. The anger had left her voice. She was flushed. The light seemed to be brighter, warmer, almost overwhelming her. She was losing herself a bit. Did you like doing those things with James? Did you really enjoy them, Jane? The questions were asked in the same steady voice that all of his questions were asked in. I don't know. Maybe. Are we almost done? Again, her voice was quiet, almost defeated. Poor Jane. Almost done. A few more questions. Did James force you to do those things, Jane? Against your will? Be honest. She stared at him before answering. No. Her voice was flat. You enjoyed it, then, in the moment? Yes. So what? What is your fucking point with all of this? She was getting angry again. She felt accused, like she was on trial or something. Fucking assholes, she thought to herself. Jane, do you want to be with James? If I told you he wanted to be with you, would you want that? You really can walk out of here with everything I promised. Take the pictures and the video and go if you wish. Would you like to stay here and be with James, or do you want to walk out of here and be alone? This is an important question, Jane. Answer me truthfully. She looked away again. The change in directions of the question surprised her. She was off balance, not sure what to expect.
I don't know what I want. Her voice was trembling as she answered the question.
Okay, Jane. Mr. Black stood and pushed an envelope across the desk to her. Without another word, he sat down and stared at her expectantly. Silently, her trembling hands tore open the envelope and pulled out a sheet of paper. With shaking hands, she read the neatly printed words written in James's handwriting. She sat there for several moments after she read the letter, mute and unmoving.
Jane, it is time to decide. The tablet in front of you has everything you and James have done together, all the pictures, from the walks on the beach to the graphically sexual. I have no copies, nor does James. You may take the tablet and the key and leave this place forever. If you do, it is James's wish that you never contact him again. If you choose to stay, you will begin training in your preparation for your life with James. I shall return the tablet to him, and we will get to work. As she opened her mouth to respond, he raised a hand, cutting her off. I want to emphasize that if you stay, your training will be intense, as will be your life with James. You will be pushed well beyond your limits. We will break you sexually, and there will never be a time when this is not part of who you are. If you cannot commit to this, to completely submit to James in this way, you should leave now. You have to decide, Jane. Are you going to stay or leave? Quietly, Jane stood up and looked at the door. She stood there, letter from James in one hand, key in the other. Her eyes were watery, but she was not crying. She found herself oddly proud of that. Again, she looked at the key, and then at the note. Trust me, it said in James's neatly printed handwriting, nothing more. With trembling hands, she put the note in her purse, slid the tablet and the key back to Mr. Black, and sat down. What now?